Blessed be your name, Lord, for the intensity of the oil. Thank you for the flow. Thank you for the fire. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for touching someone here today. Thank you for the privilege of your presence. We worship you. We honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' precious name. Go ahead and give the Lord a praise. Powerful, powerful ministration. Give the Lord a bigger clap and another shout of praise. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to welcome everyone here to this service today. In Jesus' precious name, we have had very intense teaching, preaching on the subject of love, which is foundational for character. Response from last week had been so intense, even up till now, and we decided that the matter needs to be pressed forward. So Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Root of bitterness, troubling, and bringing defilement. We are looking at toxic hate, not toxic waste, toxic hate. The toxicity of hate, part two. Now, our objective is threefold. First of all, we like to understand the manifestations of hate. We looked at some of this last week. There may be one or two repetitions for the sake of further retention. Secondly, we like to see the toxicity or the poisonousness of hate. Unfortunately, we couldn't reach this one today because of the extent of the first part. And of course, understand our response to hate that will also come in a subsequent teaching. But from last Sunday, many things became clear. And we're going to repeat what we said in the first service before we move. First of all, we saw that love is the foundation for godly character. You don't lie against people if you really love them. You don't cheat them if you love them. You won't kill your neighbor if you love him. And hate is the foundation for ungodly character. We saw that last Sunday. Secondly, we see that walking in love is walking with God, because God is love. Walking in love is walking with God, because God is love. And walking with God is ending with God. I think it's good to include the contrary. On the contrary, walking in hate is walking with Satan. The Bible said he was a murderer from the beginning. And walking with Satan is ending with Satan. We saw that last Sunday. Thirdly, we see that attack on love was the foundation of the two earliest sins of mankind. It was the foundation, attack on love, when Satan attacked man's love for God and poisoned their heart with hatred. And then when Cain became a transmitter of hatred and killed his brother, those things were founded on an attack of love. And finally, which is our great concern, is that we live in a world that is filled with a plague of lovelessness. An epidemic of lovelessness. A bankruptcy of love. We live in a world that you might call is now operating what you call a hate revolution. Both physically and online and everywhere, just a hate revolution. That is leading us to look today at the toxicity of this hate. And I mentioned four directions in which hate is a toxin. He said, when the root of bitterness springs up, many are defiled. So the toxicity of hate, first of all, affects the person and the personality of the hateful. When you see a really hateful person, their personality is distorted by hatred and bitterness. A person that should be nicely disposed, that should be highly respected, you see them behave out of hatred and out of bitterness, and you'll be wondering. Secondly, the poison of hate affects the environment of the hateful. The family of a bitter person is permanently under pressure. The children of a bitter father, a bitter mother, under pressure because of transferred aggressions in the climate. Thirdly, the hate affects society at large. This hate virus or whatever it is, acquired hatred, acquired bitterness, sufficiency syndrome. You remember it from last Sunday. It just spreads like wildfire right in the society. But this is what is worse. The poison of hate, if not managed, affects the victims of the hate. So people begin to hate you and do things against you until you become bitter. And you become hateful yourself. That is the worst part of it. That is, they are on their way to hell by bitterness and hatred. And they confront you until your sweet nature becomes distorted. You love everybody before, you trust everybody before. But because somebody so injured you, you began to suspect everybody. You became less nice. You are not smiling as you used to smile for everybody because you suspect that this one can also stab me. That is the wickedness of the poison of hate. Changing a nice person into something else. Turning a smiler into a frowner. Turning an excitable person to a depressed person. You are meant to do good to as many as you can, but you are withholding it. Because you help him, he hurts you. You raise him, he erases you. And it denatures your nature. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are trying to raise him. He is trying to erase you. You are helping, he is hurting. What do you talk about? Someone you picked from the village and you sent him to school in your house, to the university level, master's degree level. Somebody was giving me his experience. Master's degree level. With myself too. And then the person doesn't know you are his worst enemy. This world is a mystery. When people ask me and they say, What did you do against this person that you love so much that he will hurt you like this? I asked them, I said, ask God what he did against Lucifer. He made him the number one archangel, ahead of Michael, ahead of Gabriel. Ask Jesus what he did against Judas. He knew he was a thief, yet he gave him the money back. So that's the mystery. These are Luciferic spirits that jump into people's lives and then turn them into something. That's the poison. What we are trying to guard against is how this hate and bitterness from these people should not be allowed to change who you are. Should not be allowed to turn you into something different from who you are meant to be. Let us look at some of the manifestations. We saw many of these. We saw a couple of these last Sunday. But I'm going to rush through some of the manifestations of this hatred or hate poison that you can identify. Number one is, that is, toxic haters. We are describing toxic haters. What they manifest. Number one is the possession of interest in hate. People who are toxic haters, they are interested in hating. You might call them hate professionals. They quickly join the bandwagon to hate and attack who and what they may know nothing about. It's a toxin. They quickly join the bandwagon of to hate and to attack who and at times what they know nothing about. They may not know the detail, but like it is the nature of the dog to bark. Even if they are barking at nothing, as it is the nature of the eagle to fly or to soar, that is how it is. They express hatred at every given opportunity. Every given opportunity, they express it. They just let it fly. These are toxic haters. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. At times you are wondering, does this person know me from anywhere? Was there anything between us before? Nothing. They are toxic haters. Bible talks about people without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. One day I went to visit our children in school. My wife was their children. They were all jumping at me, hugging, all manner. A woman, I think she also came to visit her children or something, became angry at our interaction. Very angry. Very irritated and aggravated with terrible statements. Passing and going and angry. What kind of expression is what is all about? Chai. If I see that woman now, I wouldn't know her. We have never met from anywhere. But the fact that you are yourself is hate. Is they hate it. One day, I think we posted our marriage picture or something. One of the anniversaries or something, people were commenting. Somebody say, what does all this mean? Are you people saying that you don't have problem at all? Nothing like that was mentioned on the post. Nothing. Nothing. I am behaving now. They may be having some terrible problem. They'll just be pretending as if everything is correct. others. You didn't do them anything. It's not about you. It's about who they are. Pig must wallow in the mud. It's not about you. It's not about what you did or didn't do. It's about the nature that must be expressed. It's about a tendency that must flow. I'm sure you have wondered before. Where somebody picked up a quarrel with you as if you quarreled yesterday or 10 years ago and he just found you. That is the world in which there are plenty online. For lack of what to do and where to express their hatred and frustration. Just watching for the latest news. Next, latest person to attack. That will never be your portion. I decree the deliverance of everyone here today from every trace of every poison of haters that is trying to change who you are. I declare it is cleaned out and cleared out. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. Somebody said to me, if people deal with you that you didn't expect to deal with you, how do you relate with others? Are they not suspects? I say no. Because for every Naomi, there is a Ruth. And where there is a Ruth, there is an upper. And for every upper that abandons a Naomi, there is a root that will stick till the end. Are you hearing what I'm saying here to me? So this is their number one symptom. I'm just really now because I can't go through the first 8 points we looked at in the first service because of time. So they possess interest in hate. That is the first character of toxic haters. Number two is the recruitment of the action of recruiting, or rather, the act of recruitment of co-haters into their agenda or project of hatred. They just recruit against their victim and their object of hate. I mentioned that briefly last Sunday. Do you know about this person? Do you know about that person? He's such a bad person. I hate him. Why? Just hate him. And then this person starts hating the person. You know what the Bible said? It said wickedness will always proceed from the wicked. 1 Samuel 24 and in verse 13. Hate will always as said the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked. But my hand shall not be upon thee. Hate proceeds from the hateful. They spread it. They just spread it. One day some people were talking about someone. This one talked about how the person offended them. Another one talked about how the person offended them. Another one talked about how the person offended them. And they all had issues with the person. We were all in the same environment and situation, and they were expecting for me to also say how the person offended me. Now, these were close people. The people talking about how the person offended them, they were not bad people. They were not bad people at all. They were good people. But the person offended them. They expected me also to say he offended me, because if we're all in the same place and the same environment and circumstance, and this person has behaved like this to all of them, it was natural that I should also have experienced the behavior. But I experienced nothing. For me, he didn't do me nothing. And I made it clear that this person has done me nothing. So whatever they said could not affect my perception about the person, because I can't deal with the person based on what others say he is. I will deal with the person based on what I have seen or experienced or known of my interaction with him. There are people, like I said before, that are relating with people based on what somebody has impressed on their minds about the person. Please change it. Change it. If he didn't do you anything, give him the benefit of the doubt. Don't let what somebody has said he did to them affect your thinking about them. Give him the benefit of the doubt and just find out whether the person is the same person they are talking about or somebody else. Am I communicating at all? This is very, very important. And for everybody seated here, you will see recruiters of hatred. They will approach you. They want to sample your opinion. What do you think about that person? Do you really like him? They just want to hear from you. If you give any slight indication that you have a reservation about the person, they will pour you the venom. There are plenty. They are everywhere. They are in church too. You know, if Judas Iscariot can be in church, anybody can be in church. Am I communicating at all? They want to destroy the simplicity of your Christianity. They want to tamper with your spirituality. The spirituality of your person. They want to tamper with it by injecting poison, recruit you to hate and attack somebody that did nothing against you. Avoid it. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? Avoid it. Not everything they are saying in your school, in your environment, or they are saying in the vicinity where you are, or online, wherever you are connected, not everything they are saying you must make a comment on. Sila, this is the recruitment, act of recruitment of co-haters into the agenda of hatred. These are toxic haters. Number three is the possession of an inability. To see or celebrate anything good. In the victim or object of their hate. They don't see anything good and they can't celebrate anything good. John chapter 1, I believe it is in verse 46. Where somebody said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathaniel. Somebody told me a story. That he was asked to come and do a professional job somewhere. And when she arrived, the person asked him, what tribe are you from? When he mentioned his tribe, he told him, he said, and they say you can do this work. Can any good thing come out of that tribe? Talking is married to someone from that tribe, the same tribe, that he said, can any good thing come out of this place? So I said, if nothing good can come out of there, why did you marry there? Or are you regretting the marriage? You see, people can hate not just persons, but a whole group, a whole ethnicity. Just, it's amazing. Haman hated Mordecai until he wanted to kill Mordecai's people. He said, killing the man alone is too small. It will not pacify me. Let me kill his people. Is that not real? That your only offense is that is a family name you are bearing. Somebody hates your father. Somebody encountered someone the other day. He said, what's your name? When he called his name, he said, are you related to that person? So and so person. Say yes. He said, began to shift back. Say, how can you be related to such a wicked person? As if you can choose who you are related to. How can you be related to such a wicked person? Bad person. You say, excuse me, ma. We may be related, but we are not the same at all. Say, ah, you better not be the same. This is life. This is life. This is life is complicated. Things are complicated, though. This is real, raw, practical life. And I pray today that Jehovah God will rescue everyone from the toxic effect of hate. You are saying amen, say it louder, amen. So they don't see anything good. They don't see anything good. They don't believe anything good can come out of your life. Number four, it is the act, and that this leads to this, is the act of being permanently on the lookout for bad report or evil news. Toxic haters, they are permanently on the lookout for bad report. Permanently on the lookout for evil news from the quarters of their victim. How are they doing? One day, a man and his wife who had been trusting God for the fruit of the womb for years, they took him. I think about 9 years. And the man erroneously told somebody who was like a wizard, who went to a native doctor and said, where were you looking before those people got pregnant? How did they get pregnant? Acts chapter 12, verse 11. While Peter was in prison, there were those expecting his neck to be cut. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and he has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. They were expecting the next newspaper headline. Peter's head has been cut. But it didn't happen. What they are expecting concerning your life will never happen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Every negative expectation, negative, evil, bad report from the people who hate concerning your life, my life, and the church of Jesus, it will never happen. It will rather backfire at them. It is only when you and me go to heaven that you will see what they planned that couldn't work. What they expected to happen that didn't happen. Somebody told me how he met somebody in the market and the person ran. Person in need from the village. Ran. He said, who are you running? Come. He said, who are you? He said, I am so-and-so. He said, are you so-and-so? They said you have died. Somebody alive, the news of his death was concluded. Those to jubilate, jubilated. But he was alive in person. Maybe because of the toxicity of village, he didn't travel there for a long time. And then whatever they did in their realm, they concluded he had died. He was the person met him in the market and ran. He thought he was seeing a ghost. It will not come to pass. You know what? Psalm 112 verse 1. Let's read Psalm 112. He said, blessed is he that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. He said, keep going. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. He said, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. He said, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Look at this. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. He said, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He said, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he is the one to see his desires upon his enemies. The enemies can't see desires upon him. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Now look at verse 10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. This man that we are expecting to die didn't die. Instead of dying, he is prospering. They shall see it and be grieved. They shall gnash with their teeth, grind it, and melt away. And the desire of the wicked concerning your life shall perish. I thought somebody would celebrate that in a while. The desire of the wicked concerning your life, concerning my life, it shall perish. Look at your neighbor, say their desire shall perish. They shall see your result. They shall be grieved, and their desire shall perish. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. All the people of the Jews were in expectation for the obituary of Peter. They never saw it. Permanently looking for bad report. Just run. Toxicity of hate. Number 5 is the action of falsehood fabrication against their object of hate. When people hate and they don't know what to do, going to the extent of fabricating falsehood and conjuring false narratives, false stories, they will go to that extent. And we see it a lot in our generation. You see it in the offices, you see it online, you see it everywhere. False narratives. You see somebody giving a narrative as if he saw something, as if he heard something. All the manufacture falsehood. In Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 16, if you look at it all the way to verse 19. Keep going. Next verse. All right, let me see chapter 6 and verse 16. Right, 6 verse 16 to verse 19. He said, these 6 things does the Lord hate? Yes. 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. They conjure lies. I knew a family where there is a toxic hater. Someone once described the person in that family, said, this person, the lie the person can tell, can tear cloth for body. Raise a blade. Come. I mean, they will be talking about you and you are wondering who is the person they are talking about. Is it me or somebody else? Even the devil will be shocked at the level of the lies. I mean, somebody lying and say, I saw them going up this way, and this is what they were saying to my ear. That is, somebody is lying to your face. That is when hatred matures. They stop at nothing to see if they can destroy the object of their hate. That is the basis of fabrications in offices where nothing happened. They say, oh, the man stole something from the office, or he did this and he did that, or he's planning to overthrow the boss. It will never be your portion. And if you are in that category, hearing this message implicates you. If you are in that realm where your assignment is to tear people with lies, with falsehood, there are whole networks, whole organizations running on lies. Whole online platforms on lies. How can you live and run your life on lies and expect to end well in this world? Potiphar's wife, where is she? What's her history after she tried to destroy Joseph? Nothing is heard of her forever. It will never be your portion. That's the action of fabricating lies. Number six is the action of withholding favor, opportunity, or good from their victim, especially if it is in their possession. Toxic haters, they withhold favor. They withhold good. They withhold opportunity from their victim if they are in possession. Especially if the victim is deserving. This person deserves to be promoted, but I hate him. How many military officers lost seniority because a wicked, bitter man decided not to promote a chief of air staff material, a chief of naval staff, chief of army staff, IGP material, because he didn't pay him compliment, whatever, because of something flimsy? How many people lost promotion in civil service because the person didn't pass some things up? Standing on the path of integrity, they withhold it. They withhold the good. They withhold the opportunity. They withhold the favor. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 to 29, he said, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Keep going all the way to verse 29. Say not unto your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it by you. See, devise not evil against your neighbor. When you withhold what belongs to a person because of anything personal, you are devising evil. I want to tell this story, great illustration. My father-in-law was professor of human physiology, was my teacher in school, taught me in second year and taught me in third year. And I did his subject so well that the professor, visiting professor of human physiology who came from Zaria then, was encouraging me if I don't want to specialize in that course because of how he felt I did. But beyond that, I did the course so well that I married the teacher's daughter. that is distinction. Excellent. to be a lifelong continuous learning. So my father-in-law, her father, was contesting for a position in the university, I think the dean or something, and he contested heatedly. In those days, that contest, it was so heated and so almost bitterly with another contestant, another professor. There were two camps. I'm following this one, I'm following that. Now, at that time, this girl was writing the exam of the contestant, the contender. But you'll be excited how it ended. She smashed the subject so much that the contender gave her the award of best graduating student in that course. He made me to salute the man. I respect him till tomorrow. Sentiment cannot come between the baby. I have no issue with the girl. She passed, she must pass. She did well, she must do well. The man is about to celebrate, I think, his 80th birthday. We spoke with him not too long ago. I think I have to honor him specially for that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people, they transfer the matters. You deserve this, but I won't give you. Your father is my enemy. You deserve this favor, but you cannot get it. I want you to feel it. You can't get it because people from your place are not, they are enemies of people from our place. That's the world we live in. I will pursue you until you leave this army. Because your godfather, who is now retired, was my enemy. That is vernacular exclamation. Hallelujah. But I want to announce to somebody today, in the name that is above every name, Jesus the resurrected Lord. Whatever is yours, per time, no power from hell shall deprive you of it. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. No power from hell shall deprive you of it. Shout the loudest amen. The praise as you take your seat is the action. And number 7, before we reach number 8, is the tendency. Now, this one is very frightening. The tendency to allocate minimal worth, value. Or any sense of a future to the objects of their hatred. The tendency to allocate minimal worth, value, or any sense of a future to the subjects of their hatred. Toxic haters, when they look at you, they look at you. They think you are worthless. They think you are valueless. It doesn't matter what any other person thinks. They don't think you are worth anything. They don't even see much of a future with your life. They write you off in a hurry. You know, when people hate you, they think they also have power over your destiny. That's the greatest mistake they make. They think they have power. See, pastors, some people hate you or hate church and left church and think that that was the end of the church or the end of a pastor. It happens all the time. And they talk in ways in which don't mind them. Just give them a little time. Whatever they are doing, they will stop. Only for them to be shocked that nothing is stopping but exploding. Once they say they are not your friend, you know how little children say, you are not my friend again. when they say you are not their friend again, they thought that was the end of your life. They thought that was the end of your life. I don't understand how human beings, you know, I don't know when I will tell the full detail of my life story. Here was the stone that was rejected of the builders. You are seeing here a stone that was rejected by the builder and it's now become the head of the corner. Now become the head of the corner. Ah, there is an unction for rejection. And when I talk about the second part of this message, I'll tell you more about it. There is an unction. Oh, there's Aboron in Botswana watching. I'll talk about that to you shortly. Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Bishop, do you know when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, it was a conclusion that this guy has no future. He calls himself a dreamer, but he is nothing. That was a conclusion of his worthlessness. 30 pieces of silver, the price of his slave. That you are worthless. You are futureless. So, when they saw him in Pharaoh's palace, and the Bible says Joseph recognized his brethren, but his brethren could not recognize him. It's not as if they don't want to recognize him. It is that they considered it impossible for him to near such a place. Even for some that it looks like this face looks like the mature facial Joseph. You say, no, it's impossible. Just, it can't be near here. He has died long ago. We concluded on his death long ago. There's no way he can be here. When they realized he was the one, they didn't know where to hide their face. Very soon there are people where they will see you, they won't know where to hide their faces. Where they will see you, they won't know where to hide their faces. When they think they have finished with you, and God is saying, I am just starting with him, I am just starting with her. When they think they have finished, they think they have finished with you, and God is saying, I am just starting with her, they will not know where they will hide their face. They will not know where they will hide their face. They will not know where to hide their faces. You believe it, shout the loudest, amen. Look at somebody by yourself and say, God is just beginning with me. Don't give up on me in a hurry. Don't write me off. Things are just starting in my life. I was in St. Francis Primary School. Otukpo in Benue State, Primary 3. I was at the back of the class playing with my classmates. I was very playful. When you say read, I didn't understand that you have to read before exam. Because I read only once. Anything I read, once. So, to say read again is a waste of time. What, to read for what? Even to university level. My secretary is aware. I will give him 21 pages of script to type. You see, I didn't see any cancellation anywhere. How did you write it? And so while you are writing and it was flowing, there is nothing to cancel. So I was playing in the class, the back of the class. The teacher looked at me. Look at you, boy, there. Come. It is your type that amount to nothing. God forbid. Little boy. I was around there how many years? Because I didn't go to school on time. When we were going to school early, I think I was around the age of 6 or so, we came to Mama Put, where they used to serve cook food on the road. That's right. I will insist on eating, and after the eating, we'll return back home. So, my father said, these boys are too young. Let them remain at home for one more year. That woman said, these are the type of people that amount to nothing. I became a pastor. Things began to happen. She began to see things. She traveled all the way to Benue State to come for both help and counsel from the one that should amount to nothing. Don't write. I have seen people writing people off. One man say, all the children that, the only children I had from this woman is girl. Abandoned the wife or treated her shabbily and went and married another woman. That one gave birth, I think imbecile or something. Girl number one became a judge. Girl number two, medical doctor. Another girl number three. This man will be dying. This second one abandoned him. The girl, were the people that took care of him in his death. Who says there are women presidents of nations today? Be careful who you write off. Because the person you are trying to write off may be the person you will need to go up. The person you are planning to write off may be the person that is designed to lift your life up. So just don't conclude on people in a hurry. The future, a person's future is not on their face. So there's no way you can predict it. If you ask my classmates in the university now that I'll be doing what I'm doing, they won't believe it. Because, I mean, there was nothing that, except it, of course, being on fire on campus. But in terms of standing like this or doing all the things around the world, they will say no. Secondary school, the same thing. Hallelujah. Somebody here, you are going places. If you are the one, say loud amen. If you are the one, shout the Lord must say amen. Finally, on this note, because of time, number 8, toxic haters exist with a generosity. In condemnation and a scarcity of commendation. They are generous to condemn. They are bankrupt in commending. Once it comes to condemnation, they are quick to condemn their victim. Once it is time to commend, they are silent. Somebody said, even inside nonsense, there can be sense. Because it is nonsense. Do you understand? That as terrible as the pig look, it still has value. That is, I'm talking about the local pig in the village inside mud. He's sweeping the earth surface of decomposition. It has cadaverine and mortisine. Enzymes that are used only to degenerate dead bodies. It's a scavenger animal. Dead things on the ground, clean it. But these people, they are permanent condemners. There are wives that are victims of such husbands and husbands that are victims of such wives. Can't I ever do anything right? Can't I ever do anything right? Why are you permanently on the lookout for what I did wrong? The food was not sweet. You noticed it. The food was sweet. You are quiet. That's injustice. It's not balance. God prefers that you be more generous in the commendation. And be gentle and cautious with the condemnation. Just be gentle. You put the correction forward, but in gentility and love. There is a difference between punishment and correction. Punishment is when you want the person to do the right thing with pain. Correction is when you want the person to do the right thing with love. So there are people who are just punishing people. Punishing. They are the judge in everybody's matter. But I want to say three things, and this is where we end today. Where we ended in the first service. About those who are very, very quick to condemn people. Very, very quick. And see, how I learned not to condemn people, I'll tell you one story about it. When you hear gay, you hear homosexual, the first thing to think about is, what kind of useless, stupid people are these? You see, you leave legitimate wife, or the one that is correct, and you are looking for a man like yourself. First day I saw in New York City, we're driving, and two men standing on the road, face to face, bone to bone, kissing, as if I should vomit. On the street. Jesus. And then interfacing with the place where poo comes out from. Jesus. My mentality was, what kind of human beings are these? Until one man met me. And he said, when he grew up, he just noticed, without anything, that he has zero feeling for woman. But when he sees man, his body starts moving. He said, what is this? I think he had an abuse situation as a boy or something, but he just, it's not as if he desires a man. But he is, that is, no affinity for no. If you are a woman, anything you want, do. It's as if you are pouring water on metal. Your dress means nothing to him. You are not undressed, it means zero. But if it is man, he's attracted to the man, he's moving near the man, he's moving near the man. Secondary school from 4, from 5. So he continued like that. And then he found a worker as a receptionist in a hotel. He didn't know who to talk to. So he went and told a young man at that reception there. He said, this is my problem. I don't know. I don't think this thing should be normal. Why am I feeling nothing for woman? Why am I feeling something for man? You know what happened? The man said, me too. He spoke to the wrong person. So relationship started. He continued like that, like that, like that. He tried to get married. Wife is with him for 2 years, 3 years, nothing. They have like 2 children by accident. And he has a calling of God to be a pastor. And he was serving under a ministry. I won't go into the full detail. Then he came to me. This is my issue. When I heard the story, condemnation zero, compassion 100%. See, this one didn't look for sin. Satan tackled him from childhood. Satan tackled him. The Bible calls something a perverse spirit. There's a perverse spirit entered him. A spirit of perversion is ruining this one. This one is not looking for punishment. He's looking for deliverance. He's looking for rescue. So I placed him on a fast and went through him with a spiritual process of fasting and exercise. Took him to this altar here. Laid hands on him. Checked out the devil. He became normal and whole. The next time he came and I saw him in the office, he was saying many things. I was expecting him to talk to me about what we prayed about. He didn't sense. I said, what about the issue we prayed about? So that one, he left since. He left since. He's normal with his wife and family now. He's coming to pray for ministry breakthrough. That was when, if somebody say he's this or that, I watch to find out what happened. I won't judge him. I won't be presumptuous to think that he saw woman and went for man. A young man once told me, when the cat in their compound sees him coming, the cat will be running. I won't finish the story. Terrible. Because he knew what he suffered last time. That is the kind of thing I was saying now. Move to another level. Delivered. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody will know who he is forever. And he says this thing just came on him like that, and he just finds himself. We have seen and heard things. That is why we need the power of God to set people free. And that is why before you condemn people, find out the whole story. Before you make conclusions, before you draw the conclusions, you don't have the complete detail. Don't draw conclusions. Don't jump at the conclusions. You don't have the detail. You don't know the. One woman, she always wears very long gown all the way to her feet. Regal. Everybody sees us, say they want, I like to be like you. You say you don't want to be like me. You don't really know the detail of my story. This long dress I'm wearing is not for show. There is a chronic leg ulcer that the dress is covering. So before you say, I want to be like this person, find out first who is the person. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I receive deliverance from every judgmental spirit and every spirit of condemnation. I receive deliverance. I refuse to be a toxic hater. I refuse it. In the name of Jesus. Our time is so far gone, but I must say three things before we go. For those who want to sit in judgment, and this is the same for the first service, specific facts about those, specific facts about those judging others, not toxic, that judging others. I'll quickly read to you three passages. James chapter 8 and in verse 7. The woman was caught in adultery. Sorry, John chapter 8, verse 7. The woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And they say, should we stone this woman? The law said we should stone him to death. He continued asking them. He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they began to leave. From the elders, convicted by their own conscience, they went one by one. Before you throw stones at people, just be sure that you are perfect. And that is point number one. The only one qualified to making judging others his or her trade. I'm not talking of judges that went to school for it or that are trained and appointed by government. They can judge you from the constitution and from the law. I'm talking of people who just sit. They must condemn people. They must judge people. They have a platform online. Their agenda is to be picking on people and talking about people's issues. The only person qualified to make judging others his or her trade or profession is the one who is perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. No mistakes, no failures, no errors. No mistakes, no errors, no failures, no guilt. No, you don't have anything. That's the only person qualified. Now, that moves me to point number two. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to verse 5. It said, and why beholdest thou the mote in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? First of all, he said, judge not that you be not judged. Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eye, without you pulling out the beam that is in your own eye? Go forward, keep going. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall you see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Someone say aloud, amen. Someone say aloud, amen. He said, there is broomstick in your neighbor's eye. You are attacking him because there is broomstick in his eye. But God said, there is a timber wood in your eye. There is perimeter beam with everything in your own eye. This perimeter beam that is here, on this this wood here, this on the, this is right. You can't lift, 10 people can't lift one. Say that one is on your eye. You are talking of office beam. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What are you talking about? Tanzania Church, today is their first Sunday. Give the Lord a big clap of hand for them. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying here today. You said that this man lied, that he came to office by 7:30, when he came by 7:31. And it's a challenge to you. 7:31. It's not good that he lied that he came late by 1 minute. But the challenge God is saying is, you that was born in 1967 and submitted certificate that you are born in 1991, so that you can get job. Matadeo. When we meet God, Matadeo. Somebody brought me CV to pray for. Unfortunately for the person, I know the person's date of birth. So can you pray for me for this, for my CV? I saw date of birth, 1975. Sir, you were born in 1967. I should bless a lie so that God can... That person does not talk to me normally till today. But I'm okay. Till today. How many years discount? 8 years. Almost a decade. Praise the Lord. And so that leads us to point number two. This is what God is saying. That most people, say you hypocrite, most people who sit as judge over others are confirmed hypocrites who have far worse issues in their lives than what they attempt to judge in their victims. Far worse issues. They sit as judge, umpire in other people's affairs. But they have far worse issues. If Jehovah God should expose their issues, far worse issues in their lives than what they are attempting to judge in the lives of their victims. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Nail him. Stone her to death. She was caught in the very act. And the Lord said, what about you? The one was not the only the act. You committed abortion how many times? Plus the act. Finally, and this is the most frightening. James chapter 2 verse 13a. James 2 13a. He said, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. Judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. You know the meaning of that? Those who judge others without mercy will experience judgment without mercy from God. Both in this world and in the world to come. Judgment without mercy. Accuse slander. They bring a person's matter, you finish him. You see, anytime you want to judge people
and talk about people. Just ask yourself, if God is to deal with me with the things the way I've offended him at one point or the other, will I survive? Please, when they bring people's matters to you, be careful what you contribute. Because those who judge without mercy will experience judgment. That's why you see people. At times people are passing through things. No prayer can help them. Oh yeah. Nothing. Seed sown. Lives they dealt with. Those who judge without mercy. I knew a man who was a specialist in breaking people's hearts. I want to marry this one. Jilt. Marry another one. Jilt. Marry another one. If I'm not mistaken, it will be up to 13 or more. Specialist. When it was time to marry, toxic confusion. Didn't know who to marry. It's very toxic. Outcome, not good. Outcome in life, generally, not good. Am I communicating? There are people. Somebody is owing you 1 naira. And some of these online people, lenders, have you ever seen any notification to you that not even that one, that money is available in case you need to lend? Even today you got it. They will beg you apply, and then by the time they give you, pay now or we publish your details online. People have committed suicide. If you say one, you say the other. Please, don't put yourself in such a position. No need to go for such avenues. Thou shalt lend unto nations, thou shalt not borrow. Am I communicating? But those who deal with others mercilessly, The judgment, merciless judgment is waiting for them. Waiting for them both in this world and in the world to come. When you see notorious witches die, dying pains, dying confession, some rot, they are rotting while they are alive, their bodies. When you see children of native doctors, only God and strong deliverance make them meaningful people on earth because of how many people their father destroyed. Am I communicating at all? So please, in all that you do, just be human and be a person. Be human, be a person. I told a story. And somebody sent me a message from the UK in between the first and second service. He said the message I preached in the first service touched him. Because I said in that first service that many people don't know who to talk to. Because they don't know who will use what they say against them. You just use it. Say, I'm attracted to another woman. I don't really like men. Say, that one is a lesbian. Before you know it, you are hearing your story from everywhere. The man said he has had perversion, but he didn't know who he will talk to because he doesn't know who will use it to attack it, to judge him. And that is so bad. Why would we allow our brothers and sisters to suffer in silence? Because nobody can trust you with their challenge because of how you will use it against them. Peace. I said in the first service how a man came all the way from South Africa. He dreamt in the night about a particular lady or something that he had relationship with in the dream. He woke up in the morning, it manifested physically. And then that became a chain of bondage. The chain continued, his marriage was affected, ministry ended, everything disappeared. He said, who will he talk to that will not judge him? He looked around, he couldn't find. He said, what of myself? At least he considers me as like a spiritual father or a mentor. He said he was afraid. If he talked to me, what I will say? So he took a flight all the way from South Africa and he came. When he came, after he told his story, instead of looking at him and saying, hey, where were you looking? Your marriage scattered. Where were you looking? Yeah? Ministry. What are you gaining that will make you lose? He said, all right, anybody who wants to come? Good. I'm calling you, looking back. I put my hand at his back like this. I said, it is well with you. I think it's an attack. The fact that it came in the dream before it manifested in the physical, we'll deal with it. I'll place you on a 3-day fast, give him a book, Who Are You? Did a spiritual exercise, fasting and prayer, took him to that altar, laid hands on him, cleared out that affliction. It was time for him to go, gave him transportation to Lagos. He needed airfare back to South Africa because everything was down. Paid his plane bill all the way to South Africa. He went back, family restored, ministry restored, fire restored, everything restored, because he was able to speak out because he knew he will not be judged. Please, let us help our brothers. Let us help our sisters. Let them be able to freely communicate with us. There are people I have discussed with, my wife and nobody under heaven will have a zero idea of what the person shared because they are entitled to their privacy and confidentiality. It has nothing to do with this is my wife, so she has to know everything I know. Nothing like that. We are one maritally, but not one in the details of people's confidential details. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? It's a new day for you. And if you have sat in judgment before other people, Lord, I have mercy. Have mercy on me because I am not a judge and I'm not God. I have been so harsh on people. I have been so, the way I comment on people's matters, the way I talk about others, I'm sorry. I behave like I am perfect in every way. I am not. I am sorry, Lord. That will be an amendment which shall be made today. And those who have been hurt and injured by people, and you are asking God to clean that bitterness from your heart, the platform is also free. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Breathe on me, oh Lord. Breathe on me. Breathe on me, oh Lord. Breathe on me. I have made up my mind to serve you for us. Stand up on your feet, keep your hands everywhere. Oh Lord. Everybody sing it now. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Anywhere you are today, you have been so hurt, so injured, so wounded by the actions of toxic haters. They are almost trying to change you from the nice person you are meant to be to become something else, because you don't want to believe people or trust people. But you want God to make you who you are meant to be, to clean your heart of hurt, clean your heart of the pain of bitterness and the pain of offense. Quickly, you can come forward and go on your knees before God. Carry your Bibles and your Bibles as you come. While they are doing so, especially those who didn't come out last Sunday, or maybe you didn't come out, or you were not here on the first service and you want to do this, but lift your hands everywhere you are and pray this prayer after me. Everywhere you are, lift up your hands high.
I have made up my mind to serve you, Lord. Lead on me, oh. Everybody sing this song. Lead on me, oh.
Not just those on their knees, everybody in the church. See, after me, say, I come before you today, Lord, to receive deliverance from every spirit of bitterness, of hate. Flip it on this cross here. I receive deliverance from the toxin of poison. The toxin and the poison of hate and bitterness. In the name of Jesus, I receive, Lord, your help and your mercy today to walk in love. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Go on ahead, lift your voice and pray. Lift up your hands everywhere. I pray for everyone on their knees. Just go ahead and release that person. Father, I release this person. I release that person. I receive the grace. I pray for you today for the grace to release the person. I ask that the hold of bitterness be broken. The grip of the poison of hate be cleaned out.
Amen.
The grace to live for God and do the right thing, that grace is released upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. Amen.